In the era of vinyl albums, the literary long form of pop music, there is a Brandenburg Concerto, a Beethoven's Ninth, a Verdi Requiem, and it's by a band with that silly surfer name, the Beach Boys.
I may not always love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I...
The album, of course, is Pet Sounds, released in 1966 with this song and Wouldn't It Be Nice? Songs that seem to drop from some other world. The otherworldly mind of Brian Wilson, the brilliant co-founder and composer of the Beach Boys. He's recognized as one of the greatest creative minds of the 20th century, but Wilson was no mere pop celebrity. He was a genius on the edge of madness, whose public success pushed him over the edge at times. A needy, incomplete person, almost shaped by an abusive father and a domineering psychotherapist, Eugene Landy. The story of Wilson's successes, struggles, and redemptive love with his second wife, Melinda Ledbetter, is told in the new film, Love and Mercy.
We could do whatever we want.
I think we should do whatever we want, too. What do you want to do?
Can you swim?
Yeah.
Evan, will you take the boat in really close to shore? I want to show Melinda my house.
All right, on the count of three, I want you to get up. I want you to jump in the water and I want you to pull over to my house.
What?
Right
what?
Now. You ready? Come
on. Are you serious?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's ditch this scene and make out like teenagers.
That's John Cusack as Brian Wilson and Elizabeth Banks as Melinda Ledbetter in the new film Love and Mercy. John Cusack is here with us along with the film's director, Bill Paulette, to talk about Love and Mercy. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
This is a great domain of sort of pop history and really the story of creativity itself. How scared were you of this material? Because it is a life unlike many. It's divided and, you know, unknown, even if the songs are so familiar.
Well, I was so frightened, I asked Bill if we could cast two actors so I wouldn't have to do the whole thing. And so Paul Dano and I both play. I'm kidding. But Bill Paulette, who's here, of course, with us, the producer and the director and the force behind this film and most of its success, is has chosen to cast two actors to play Brian. And so we hope that the notion of the two of us would both sing a song about Brian that would hopefully harmonize. But it was very daunting. And I think the idea and the conceit of the film was that you can never really do a definitive portrait of someone that complex. So by having two actors do it, we're admitting that and really just trying to sing a song about Brian.
And, you know, we've seen some pretty interesting films in the last year about complicated characters, Imitation Game, about Alan Turing, and the Stephen Hawking movie. In the case of the Turing movie, I thought they just oversimplified the character. In this case, you've really chosen to embrace the complexity. You jump straight in with both feet, both arms.
Yeah, as John said, it's hard to, well, in some ways it's hard to encapsulate anyone's life in a work, whether it be a book or a movie or anything like that. But in Brian's case, it's even more so. He's led such an incredible life, not only his artistic and creative output, but just all the things that have happened, the dramas in his life, and in yeah. some case, melodramas. I mean, it almost plays like that sometimes. So it really was kind of a daunting task. And we also definitely didn't want to do the kind of biopic approach. Wanted to get more of a, you know, intimate portrait of Brian. So we instead, as John said, we chose these two eras in his life, in his 20s and in his 40s, and intertwine them together. That was the goal. And again, it's just, again, the idea of painting a portrait. It's never going to be the definitive one, but it's our take on it.
You know, it's like it can be a double album.
Right.
Or it can be a novel, but... You know, as they say, the only thing that's really reality is if you put a closed-circuit camera on, you know, a grocery store in Idaho and just let it run, that's reality. And those are all the facts, but, you know, you have to choose.
Oh, sure.
And you have to economize. But
it seems like one of the challenges here is that Wilson is like Andy Kaufman. He reminds me of a character like Andy Kaufman who is just so... You're always saying to yourself, is this for real? Is he here? Is he with us? Is he channeling some beings from another world? And I'm wondering if you felt about, you know, this film and this project, the same challenges that they must have had with Jim Carrey doing Andy Kaufman years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's, again, relating back to the previous question, it's like anybody, you know, we're all very complicated if we start to get into the different layers of all of us. Certainly Brian has some extra complications that, you know, other people don't exactly struggle with in exactly the most as dramatic a way as he does. So you're just trying to get into that a little bit. And it is a struggle. And that, honestly, casting two actors to play Brian at different times of his life isn't exactly backing away from that. It's actually opening itself up
it's actually
to that
embracing
complexity.
The complexity of it in every way. And I think he was, I would compare it more to Bob Dylan or someone like that, or one of these North Stars. And I think the idea of an artist being so original that you can't really, I mean, he was accepted in his times, but he was such a pioneer and he was conjuring these new sounds. And he was such an unformatted, innocent spirit and a pure spirit that there really is there's really no way to sort of overestimate his impact on culture. You know, this is a person with one ear in California in a studio while the Beach Boys were on tour, who was blowing the Beatles' minds, and they were making albums kind of in reflection of this incredible sound coming from Brian. And then they would make Rubber Soul, and he would be back in California. He would say, oh my God, these guys blew the doors open. And then he would write God Only Knows. And this incredible creative riptide was going back and forth from the Atlantic, and it was all coming from this one guy with one ear who was also hearing voices. Mystery of a person, but he's also, you know, he's filled with paradoxes, and it's all in his music.
John, do you think the riddle of Brian Wilson is contained in that lyric in God Only Knows? I may not always love you, but God only knows what I'd do without you, in the sense that he's dominated by so many strong characters, even though he's a genius.
Yeah, or you could even take it a step further, which is, you know, as they say about, you know, Dylan, you know, he's either writing about God or the muse. And I think with Brian, he's writing about his muse, you know, his relationship to the divine feminine, but he's also, every song is a prayer. And I think he has this celestial kind of choir that comes through him, and he hears things that other people can't hear. And so every song with Brian is a prayer. You know, he's not a verbal guy. He's an intuitive feeling guy, but those feelings and intuition are profound. So I think...
Question for the audience. What is the intersection between this movie, Love and Mercy, Brian Wilson, and the movie High Fidelity that you were in years ago? Anyone? We have a winner, John Cusack. What is the intersection?
The intersection is that people experience their life autobiographically through music and experience it through great art. And when you, the first time I heard Pet Sounds, I can remember being in high school and I was into the post-punk, the punk stuff, but, you know, all roads kept going through Phil Spector and Brian Wilson and the Beatles and all that stuff. And in High Fidelity, which was about music lovers, you know, and the ultimate music snobs, the only thing the three characters could agree on, who were the greatest snobs about rock and roll history there could be, was that, of course, well, Brian Wilson's in everyone's top five.
Top five music.
You know, Smile and Pet Sounds. Yeah, of course. That was the only thing they could agree on. Mm-hmm. So that was that's the High Fidelity connection.
Do you think Brian Wilson was scared by being so ahead of his time, was afraid of the powers that were within him, or did he have control over them?
Yeah, I don't think he perceived that he was ahead of his time. I think any artist who's kind of on their personal journey is just kind of on that journey and kind of going with it. They're not necessarily looking at it from outside and going, ahead
but
of
he,
my
he
time.
Was, he, like don't you think he was disappointed that Pet Sounds and Smile, you know, he was, you know, if think of someone like, you know, if you think of the Beatles and you think of, they had George Martin, Lennon, McCartney, and as they were doing things, they had a whole group and they were supporting. And here's this guy who writes Pet Sounds and the Smile record, and everyone's like, hey, where are the hits? We make surf music. And he must, I think it broke his heart.
Yeah, I mean, having that support structure, you know, not that it was easy for the Beatles, certainly, but, you know, they, Lennon and McCartney, the team, and George Martin all had that kind of group around them. It really was kind of Brian out there by himself trying to kind of, you know, break this new ground. And it is scary. Again, he's a very vulnerable person, very pure soul kind of spirit thing.
And is he today? You work with him, right? I mean, you hung,
yeah,
you hung
no,
out with
I mean,
him.
That's the amazing thing. After all the bad stuff and great stuff that he's been through, he still maintains this kind of purity or whatever, this kind of childlike innocence. It's amazing. I mean, you go and talk to him about, ask him about Landy, who did some really bad things to him, and he was
a psychoanalyst.
Right. He'll say, you know, I wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for Landy, you know.
And then you'll say, but then he's such a paradox, because you say, then you'll say, well, but that, it was terrible time. He goes, oh, yeah, it was hell.
So it's not like he's not aware.
He just doesn't have a bad thing to say about anybody.
Yeah.
What's it like being in performance, a kind of psychological slave boy to Paul Giamatti, who plays Landy?
All I can think about was that, if Brian's music is alchemical, you know, if he's taking, you know, pain and turning it into beauty and transcendence, and I thought, well, this is what made his great work. It was not a pleasant headspace to be in.
Paul knows how to deliver pain.
Yeah, he knows how to dish it out.
But that's one of those characters. He's playing a character that has, you know, could very easily be an arch villain, you know, kind of one-dimensional, and he gave it, you know, some humanity. I mean, it's hard in that situation.
Mm-hmm. And you know, he's a Brian, the thing about him too, in like guys like Dylan and Brian, is they're not formatted, and you can't put them in a box. They don't even see the box. They don't even recognize the lines of it. They're blurring all those lines. And Brian is as sweet and as vulnerable and as innocent as he is, he's also incredibly tough. I mean, he survived all this. And, you know, think about all the people from the 60s who are gone, and think about all the guys, you know, who never got through it and he's
happy to be here.
Well, yeah. I mean, he survived. I mean, he's always a paradox.
Well,
never one simple kind of take on Brian. As soon as you say one thing, you can switch and say, well, wait a minute, but the opposite's true.
My staff can attest to this. I'm not a big autograph seeker, but will you indulge me one question before we go, John Cusack?
I can indulge you as many as you want. You're kicking us out in 2 minutes.
Play the clip.
You've got to stop calling her. You're really upsetting her and him.
Like, care about him.
Well, you should.
Why?
Because all you're doing is forming a little unit. Them against you. Before you started all this psychotic madness, there was no unit. There was just three people in a mess, but now they've got something in common, and you don't want to make anything worse.
Joan Cusack and John Cusack playing a scene from High Fidelity.
I didn't know which movie that was from because I've done so many with her.
Here's the question. What is it like to age in this crazy Hollywood business together with your sister?
Well, you know, I've sort of been put out to pasture so many times in my career, I just assume it'll keep happening until, you know, I'm gone, which could be next week.
Do you share the experience with her?
I think should I say nice things or true things or
true
witty
things? Are
witty
good.
Things?
We love
what kind of things
witty,
should I
witty
say?
Witty or good? Witty or good?
But like how true?
You got a minute and 39
well,
seconds. How much truth can you pack in there?
Okay. I think probably the business, which has become dominated by the marketing business, and besides guys like Bill, I remember at a time in the business when people like Bill would just decide what they thought was a good idea to do, and then they'd be smart with marketers. Now I think the studios are run by marketers. So the idea is everything has to get younger and younger because that's who we're selling to.
The Amy Schumer idea.
No, she's 26.
Yeah, she's talking all about that.
She would say she's menopausal.
Yeah,
right. At 26, so it's much rougher on women than it is on guys. But it just skews younger. But it's just a tough business. But I think it's kind of awesome to get older. You know, I like being in my 40s. I think I was much smarter than I was in my 30s, and I was a much less dumb and dangerous person than I was in my 20s. But I don't know if the film business will support that. But, you know, hey, man, what am I going to do?
Well, we will. We'll support it. Bill and John, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Bill Pohl is the director of Love and Mercy, also the producer of 12 Years a Slave, Into the Wild, Brokeback Mountain, and many other films. Truth We Love. It's public radio, right? John Cusack stars as Brian Wilson in the new film Love and Mercy. He also starred in Hot Tub Time Machine, The Butler, High Fidelity, Gross Point Blank, Say Anything. And that's all for this weekend. Have a great weekend. Have a great weekend, John Cusack.
Thank you, sir.
Say something to my daughter, Olivia.
Call your father earlier than 5 a.m.
Thank you for that. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.